Okay, I'm going to be in 2 Timothy. If you'd like to turn, appreciate the good preaching, Brother John's. 2 Timothy, been coming here 20 years. A lot of good brothers and sisters I've used to fellowship with, gone. They're gone on to be with the Lord. Some of them are serving in other places, but I've always been blessed to come to Amory and be in the Bible conference. It's just been a blessing. I'm looking to have a good blessing in this conference too. I already have. We got up here yesterday evening, enjoyed good fellowship, good night's rest, and ready to go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. I'm taking my text this morning from verse 16. I want to bring a little message on Onesiphorus the refresher. Onesiphorus the refresher. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your good word. Thank you, Lord, it's forever settled in heaven. Oh, it's such a blessing to have the Word of God, not only to read it, but to meditate upon it. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in our covenant that writes your laws in our hearts and minds. And I just pray that you'd bless this time now, as you already have. We pray that you'd bless this portion of the service. And Heavenly Father, that you would receive all honor and glory, that the Father would be glorified through Christ the Son. And I pray that you would weave this message down into our very fiber of our hearts and our innermost being. Help us to understand why you left us this particular portion of Scripture and how it is to be effective in our lives. And I pray that when we go from here and by the words that we read this morning in the Holy Bible and the preaching, that we'd be a better witness, more effective. Help us to be more innovative to do those things, Lord, that would bring you maximum glory and from our lives. Help us not to just get stale and in a rut and depressed and down, but to know that the Spirit of God can lead us and guide us into fresh water from the well of life. And we just pray that you would do that today here. Continue to bless throughout this day. Lord, help us to realize what a privilege it is, the richness of the assembly and the fellowship of the saints of God. Lord, this is a wonderful place. This is a place that Jesus said that he would gather with us when we gather in his name. And we just pray that you would have your way in every heart and life here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Onesiphorus, the refresher. Our interactions with one another always leaves an impression. It always leaves an impression. You cannot have interaction with somebody and not leave an impression upon them. I interact with people all the time. I work in the public. I've got a church, fellowship, and I'm constantly interacting with people. Most people today are so jaded by first impressions and, you can be a hypocrite, you can be deceptive, you can be a lot of things. But what I'm going to say is you're going to impress somebody. I've already been impressed by some of you. I've never met some of you before. You've already made an impression on me. And I'm going to impress you. We're going to impact one another. The definition of impact is when two opposing forces meet together. And God has tempered us in the Holy Spirit by the Word of God that we have maximum and the most blessed impact upon one another's lives. If we'll find our place and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and try not to be somebody we're not, and try not to be the hottest thing on the item, and just want to bring glory to God and be a blessing one to another. We can be like Onesiphorus and be a refresher. And that's what I really want to be. Well, we've got three men here, and I'm going to go through the Bible today and bring some of this out. This was a blessing for me. It helped me. That statement, what I go about repentance, continual repentance, I had to do that right here. Because, you know, I'm kind of cut rough. And if I'm not careful, I'll glory in that. You know, not care too much about what everybody else thinks. And, you know, this is it. And if you don't like it, there's the door and all that kind of stuff. Well, I know there's a need to be, you know, steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord at whatever the cost. But folks, you can't have that kind of attitude. Not be right with God. And so we're going to look at a bunch of people. Now, I preach to my church and have drilled into them that you are in this Bible. It may be, the name here may be Hermogenes and Phygellus or Onesiphorus, but you can just transpose your name in there. You're found in this Bible. We heard a sermon on Elijah, and Elijah is a type of a man. I want to have some of his characteristics. Now, I don't want to be scared of Jezebel, and I don't want to get depressed and say, Lord, take my life. It's better me to die than to live. God just reveals whatever and whoever we are. The good and the bad and the ugly. He shows us in the Bible. So we can say, these things happen to them for examples to you and I, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So we're going to go down through here. And what I really am trying to get out of this, what the Lord blessed my heart with, is how to be a refresher to the brethren. Onesiphorus, the refresher. So we got three men right here in our text. We got Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, these represent people that turned people away from the Lord. They were involved in the work. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know how they were connected. The Bible doesn't say here. But they turned people away from the Lord. Paul was affected. He was impacted by Phygellus and Hermogenes. They left an impact upon him. And so he brings their name up. And he says, and folks, can I say this to you? I talk to preachers. We go to different meetings. Of course, I'm not free to travel as much as I used to. But we go to these different meetings and we talk about one another. The liar, the preacher that stands in the pulpit and says he don't talk about somebody else is a liar. We're interested in one another's well-being. It's not wrong to talk about one another. It's wrong to talk in the wrong way about one another. It's wrong to bring a false witness. It's wrong to denigrate or to bring somebody down that I might be exalted. But we talk about everybody. And everybody in here tells of how this person or that man or that woman impressed them. Every one of them. And listen, there's some fellas out there, I've said, you need to leave him alone. Just leave him alone. As far as my interaction with him, leave him alone. Because the effect that he had in my life was not refreshing. And so Paul brings out Phygellus and Hermogenes right here. And he says, these fellas impacted me in a way. But then he thought about Onesiphorus. And he said, listen to what he says. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And so Onesiphorus, often, every time he came into the presence of Paul, Paul was refreshed by his presence. Now, Paul is in jail. Who would you want to come visit you in jail? Hermogenes and Phygellus or Onesiphorus? I mean, you want somebody that's going to be refreshing to you. You know, you're not a pansy as a preacher if you refresh the brethren. That's not sissified. You don't have to be as mean as a junkyard dog to try to impress somebody. Why not? You can refresh people taking a fervent stand for the truth without being so far overbearing that you scare people away from you. Or they kind of isolate. You know, I go to Bible conferences. And preachers are, we get around, we're so careful, and we just don't, certain things don't say. We don't want to interact. We don't want to ask too many questions because, you know, why do we do that? We've got this barrier up. You know what connects all of us together? Christ Jesus the Lord. And that other stuff we can't make the connection, or we're afraid to get too close to somebody. And I've seen older brethren, grew up now 30 years in the ministry, they didn't interact one with another. Old wars down the road, and they just come and sit there, and that's it. And they'll come and sit there and leave and go home after 3 days. You don't even know anything about them. That's not refreshing. Listen, we're here to fellowship. What we need to do is get Adam off of us and get right with God and let the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ be a blessing one to another. Get rid of all these presupposed and, you know, the way I'm supposed to be. Just be who we are in the Lord. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I want to be better, but I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'm just not going to Bible conferences to get all drawn up about so brother so-and-so. I refuse to let somebody affect me that way. There's some people you can't deal with. Matter of fact, Paul here in other places we're going to read, he said, you need to leave them alone. Just leave them alone. But Onesiphorus refreshed Paul. Every time he came into Paul's presence, he was refreshing to him. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. I mean, he just didn't, if I run into you, that's the way, I'll try to be a blessing. He sought me out to be a refresher to me. God raised Onesiphorus up to refresh Paul when he was down there in that prison. Now, there's a lot of things the preachers and the people can't do, but there's some things we can do. And I don't get into all the theological discussion about Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goat nations, but I do get into those works that they were doing. And there were some that didn't care and didn't feed the hungry and didn't go visit the sick and didn't go visit in prison. But the blessed of the Lord made an effort. They were diligent to go out of their way to be a blessing to somebody that was maybe in a certain way that they couldn't, they really needed that help. They were in prison. Sick, you visited me. Hungry, you fed me. Cold, naked, you clothed me. That's what Onesiphorus is doing here. And folks, that's what God wants out of us. He wants us to be diligent to be refreshing to other people. Saints and sinners alike. And it's going to cost you. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to humble. We just sang that song, Come Unto Me. He says, I'm meek and lowly. Well, we are anything but meek and lowly. I come in here this morning, Brother Joe said, what's the word from the Lord? I said, well, I was reading in the Bible this morning. Everything I read about my Adamic man, he condemned. It ain't no good. And so, we need to understand that Adam has been put to death, ruled dead by God. We're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we've got the nature, the seed, the very seed of the Son of God living in us. And Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you can come unto me and you can be refreshed. You can be blessed by being in my presence. I want to be a blessing. Yeah, I want to stomp sin's guts out. Yeah, fine. I can do that too. That's fine. That's a blessing. That's refreshing. I'm against all. I remember when he said a while ago about tattoos being acceptable now. Man, when I was growing up, that was not acceptable. There was no liquor, and we live in parishes. We had no liquor in our parish. You couldn't buy beer. None of that stuff was acceptable. We got more churches now than we had then, and we got more liquor, tattoo, dope, and casinos than we've ever had. Something wrong with our religion. So you can get a hold of that, shake that all you want to, and that's a blessing. But it ought to tell us something, like, hey, something's wrong with us. I come down through town here a while ago, and I seen bar and grill or liquor or whatever it was, and I told my wife, I said, 100 years ago, they wouldn't even thought about having liquor in the middle of Amory, Mississippi. And so what I'm saying is, but even at that, we want to be refreshing with that. Paul said, he sought me diligently and found me. Yeah. By the way, you ought to do that in somebody's life, you know. You ought to get after somebody and find them. Yeah. Maybe it's a preacher. Maybe it's somebody in the church. Maybe it's somebody kind of drifting away. Maybe it's a sinner out there. But do diligence to find them. Touch them. I use my work for ministry. God got me working. I'm working a lot, so I'm just going to use it for ministry. I don't have to get ready to go on visitation. I go on visitation every day. I'm visiting somebody every day. I see somebody every day. I tell you what, when I get home, I want to lay down and go to bed. I don't want to get ready and go on visitation. I done been on visitation all day long, everywhere I go. Listen, I've seen this out there, just out there. And, of course, I get a lot of work after other people's done ripped somebody off. And my name, and so I go in there, and they've already paid for this, and the people's gone, and they want me to do it. And I feel bad about it. You know, I feel bad about it if I charge them anything because they done paid for it one time. And so I go in there and I just, you know, and they're all drawn up. They're, you know, preacher, oh boy. Well, what preacher works? Most preachers I know are too lazy to work. So what you doing being a preacher? You ain't got a church? You know, you get into all that kind of stuff. But you go in there and you just, you know, well, the Lord, you know, the Lord's blessed me. And you just invoke His name right there. You just can't believe what that'll do. I was in a place one time, had one of my church members with me, and we went to pick up a boat. And it got worked on. I was standing there at that counter, and there were 4 or 5 men there, and this man was cussing. I mean, he was pitching him a sure enough fit. And, of course, you know, God saved me when I was 30, and I was a wicked man. I run with the wild crowd and all that. I don't preach on that, but I know what that. And I'm standing there, and he's just going up one side. When he got through with all whatever was going on, it come my turn. I said, hey, I want to ask you something. I said, have you ever given much thought to the Lord Jesus Christ? Just drop that out there, you know. And you can just see the change. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. He's caught now because he just threw a cussing fit and using God's name and man and cussing everybody within 3 states. Just invoke His name as refreshing. But to go further and to do diligence to somebody to do like the Lord grant him how many things, not just one thing, but how many things He ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Onesiphorus was a refreshing man. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a refresher. Look in chapter 4 right here. Now here's I'm telling you, the Bible puts us in there. And we want to see, you know, who do I fit here? And by the way, you can change. Okay, let me just give you a real, everybody knows this, Martha and Mary. Who you want to be? Who you want to be, Martha or Mary? I've seen plenty of Marthas in my life. They're serving. You can't get within 10 foot of them. They're so wild-eyed and crazy and, you know, just all charged up about what they're doing. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Who you want to be? I'd rather be. Mary had chosen that good part. So you can go from one to the other. You see yourself for who you are and you go, you know, you get to the other. But, you know, Jesus didn't get on to her for serving. He got on to her that she was cumbered about with much. She was, you know, she ought to have been a blessing like that. That's what I'm preaching on. But she's mad at her sister and mad at everybody else, and the table ain't set, and this is all messed up. And we're more worried about the optics and the flesh man than we are the spiritual thing. Sit at Jesus' feet, learn from Him, then go eat. She's all whipped up in a frenzy before Jesus ever got through preaching. Amen. Well, here you got, so you can move. You can find yourself and see who you are and repent of it and go be somebody else that's impacted your life. Verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Now, I don't know about this Alexander. I find him in the New Testament 2 or 3 places. But this is chapter 4 of the book of 2 Timothy. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Well, see, that's what Paul remembers by him. Every time I saw that hand, he was mean. He was evil. He did me much evil. There's some preachers that drift around out there that I know of in this fellowship that do other preachers evil. Now, where do they get signed off from God that they could be that way? Where do you find that in the Bible? Well, bless God, I'm standing from the truth, not to the destruction of somebody else. This Bible tells me how to deal with that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't give me a right to get after somebody on social media and tell everybody I know the secret things and all that went on. The Bible said don't do that. But bless God, we're full of the Spirit. We're going to tell everything we know. No, you're full of the devil. And God says you need to bridle your tongue. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, without hypocrisy, full of good works. And this other wisdom that treating others, even if a man is overtaken in a fault, you with your spiritual restore such one of the spirit of meekness, lest it get a hold of you, lest you be tempted. Who you think you are? You can't, you know, are you one of the four elders? Four beasts or 420 elders? It's not going to happen to you. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. You better believe it could happen. Alexander did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom thou beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. That's pretty good right there. Lord, they all run off. They're scared. They don't understand. Don't hold it against them, Lord. Instead, I'm up here by myself. That no good started much run off and left me. I don't even know if they're saved or not. Look what Paul said. Don't lay it to their charge. You know, that's what Stephen said. Lay not this sin to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, all the Gentiles might hear, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Dropping on down. Salute Prisca and Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila, and the house of Onesiphorus. And so he's saying here, here's Onesiphorus again, in a difference, you know, in contrast to Alexander the coppersmith. And Paul just keeps bringing it. You know, Paul liked Onesiphorus. He talked about him a lot. You find him all scattered in the Bible. He's a refreshing brother. There are some brothers and sisters that come, man, you can't wait. I want to see them. And folks, there's some people that stand back there and you get in their presence, they're standing there like this. They're just standing there. Go ahead and ask me. And you can't get away from it. You know, God's got you tied to that. You got to go up there. And they're just standing there. They won't go ahead and ask me. Just go ahead and ask me. How you doing? And you, for the next 2 hours, all you hear is grumbling, complaining. My children gone to this, don't mean nothing. My husband, no good. And you just think, man, God. You know what I do? I tell my wife, you go talk to her. I'm going over here. That's not refreshing. An old cantankerous, complaining, disgruntled, no good Baptist that ain't glad to be in the house of God and act like they're mad about getting saved. Never rejoicing. People dread to see that kind of folk coming. That's a dread. Maybe when we come to church just dead and dried up and no good, we dread to see one another coming because we ain't got no refreshing going on. Go to Philemon. Titus Philemon. Right, another book over, right quick. This is one of my pet verses that I espouse to achieve by the grace of God. Philemon 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. I mean, it ain't just some superficial thing. Philemon was a refreshing brother. The bowels of the saints, the inner affections. You can just tell, boy, Philemon come, man, we're glad to see him. Philemon's the kind of guy, and Onesiphorus is the kind of guy that comes around, everybody wants to go talk to them. Then rest of us sitting over here, nobody wants to talk to us. We need to think about that. We need to wonder, why is everybody running up over him over there and nobody wants to talk to me? So maybe they got a refreshing spirit, and you get over there, it refreshes you a little bit. Verse 21. Having confidence in thine obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. How about that for your testimony? Paul said, I'm confident, been around you, you've refreshed me over and over again. I know what Onesimus done, but I'm asking, I'm going to be his surety. He got saved by the grace of God. I'm sending him back down there. He said, no, confidence not in thou, but I know you'll do more than I say. You know why Paul told Philemon that? Because Philemon always did more than just what the required was. He went a little farther in everything. He did more than was required. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to want to be a refreshing blessing and do more than is maybe required of us. Amen, brother. That's what this stuff's in the Bible for. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Boy, I like that. And I know folks like that. There's some folks around here like that. Now they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I'm glad for the coming of Stephanus and Fortunaeus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. You want to be acknowledged? You want to be submitted to? Paul said, you submit yourselves to these folks right here because they're involved in the labor and they have really refreshed my spirit. By the way, they refreshed yours too. And you ought to submit yourself to them. What you ought to do is, Paul, I think I can put this in there. Paul said, you ought to look at them and go out there and do the same thing. Go out there. Well, I'm just not the type. No, you if you got Christ in you, you're the type. Amen. So, he says, these people have left an indelible mark upon the Apostle Paul. And the New Testament, Paul's letters are full of this stuff. He keeps naming these people that were a blessing. He keeps naming these people that he could, you know, they're evil. Watch out for them. They didn't do nothing. They run everybody off. They don't like me, so forth and so on. He brought that out too. Now, so we can do this. Now let me say this to us this morning. If we're totally self-absorbed, you can't do that. You just can't do it. God made men like trees. Trees are distinct. Trees bear fruit. Different variety of kind. There's all different varieties and they're all a blessing. Could be a blessing. Now, I know there's thorn trees and I know there's poison trees. Now, I understand that. But men are like trees. Everybody's supposed to be bearing this fruit. And so we don't pair it to be one another personality-wise. Everybody's got a different personality. Your personality might not fit me. Of course, mine wouldn't fit you. But what happens, especially among preachers at Bible conference time, what happens is my personality dominates what I'm doing here, my ministry of preaching and blessing, till I put the life of Christ out. I diminish the life of Christ for me to live as Christ. And so I diminish that by my overbearing personality and my dominating and domineering attitude toward the brethren, and which I personally think is a sign of insecurity. You're overbearing, and just we can't see Christ in you because all we can see is you. If I want to look at you, I'd go to Walmart. There's a bunch of them over there. Or watch wrestling on TV. Or some of this crazy stuff they got now, these domineering around. Listen, let me tell you something. Every little kid here ought to be able to desire to go up to a preacher and feel comfortable in their presence. Now, I'm not talking about, I know there needs to be some respect there, and we have to instill that in them. Man, you can't run people off. We want to be a refresher. And that's what all this, well, for you to be a refresher, you got to have a supply. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I know what Peter's doing here preaching this, but I'm going to lift this verse out. Here's what our brother Avery said a while ago. Repent ye therefore. That's what we need to do. And be converted. That's what we need to do. You know, conversion, Christ converts us in the inner man, but we got to convert our outer man regularly. He saved us on the inside, and we need to be saved on the outside, saving on ourselves. So we need to constantly be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. There's your supply. I'm telling you, God ain't giving you nothing if you're not going to use it to be a refreshing blessing to others. And what comes out of men is themselves. It's their own personality. It's them. And that deceives a lot of people. A lot of people take off after that because they're impressed by that person. Don't see Christ in it. They do things that's contrary to the Scriptures. I don't see a supply of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't see no sacrifice. Don't see no humility. Don't see no, easy to be entreated. The wisdom that's from above is easy to be entreated. I want this brother just to feel like he can just come up to me anytime. Some of these fellas get worked up in a lather and run up and down the aisles and act like they're fixing to slap everybody within the pews. And so what people do, they start moving back. Oh, they're scared to stand down there. I don't know what that crazy hand's going to do. And call that the Spirit of the Lord. That ain't the Spirit of the Lord. Easy to be entreated. I know what fervency and passion is. I got a little bit of that. But the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Most of these people say, well, the Spirit that's in me is of God. That Bible says the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You're in control of your spirit. And you need to temper that thing after the pattern that's given to us in the Bible. And that's what I'm trying to preach on here this morning. We need to see what happens is we have insecurity. We don't want everybody to lie. And so we get real lambastic. Amen. And try to say that's the Holy Spirit and make you run and jump and all that. And you, when I hit the button, you're supposed to do it. I don't jump and nobody's hitting no buttons. I only jump when the Lord presses me to jump. Amen. So there's some preachers that know how to do it. They make a living. Amen, Brother Jamie. You're preaching right. They make a living going around, and everybody knows that from the devil and all the demons in hell and out of hell know that with his hands here, we're going to get it going on. Is that right?
That's right.
Instead of a Bible preaching, message delivering, blessing to be around, it becomes sensationalism. And so for you to be a refresher, you have to be in constant contact with the Lord, and you are refreshed from the presence of the Lord. He rubs off on you. He lives in you. And you refrain yourself from getting out of bounds in Adam, in the flesh man, and try to make that spiritual. He stick you in a jail cell, you wouldn't be that way. Give you a good sickness, a loathsome disease. Amen. A thorn in the flesh, lest you should be exalted above measure. I don't go back there to the back. You preachers go back there and they walk out. And man, I did that for years because my pastor did that. And I walk back there and they walk through and lie to me every Sunday. Lie to me every Sunday. I told my wife, I said, I'm tired. I'm sick of going back there. They want to come up and tell me that was a good message. They can walk up here. Amen. Eat my lunch, take me home, run on me, and all that kind of stuff. Telling me that's a good man. And then I called up in front of them church, got called up, just everybody from the 16-year-old kids all the way through the whole assembly running on me. I'm standing there thinking, every one of y'all told me y'all enjoyed that preaching. What was that? It was a lie. I call that the line. When I really didn't enjoy it. So what I'm saying to you is, we have to be refreshed from the presence of the Lord, and then we go out and refresh others with the same spirit that we've been refreshed with. Let me show it to you. I'm getting down to closing. 1 Samuel 16. David, Saul. Everybody knows what happened. Saul's jealous. Saul's, you know, all that went on. He wouldn't fight Goliath. But he wanted David to wear his armor and go fight him. If I'd been David, I'd say, why don't you take that armor and go fight him? I ain't going in that mess. And by the way, can I say something, you preachers? I ain't wearing your armor. Amen? I don't have to do what you do, personality-wise. And you know, if it's so good, you go fight the giant with it. And these fellas that can't go unless they got a whole crowd around them. I noticed Elijah didn't have that. I noticed that some of the most times that God really burdened me with something, it's just me. I didn't take a soul with me. So anyway, you know how all that went. Verse 22 of chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he had found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, and so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That's what you're looking for right there. There's many times that I've been in confrontation where I could just eat somebody up. And the Lord says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Irregardless of Saul and David in this time right here, and Saul was going, you know how he was going to try to kill David. David was refreshing to King Saul. And the evil spirit, and see, this blessed Jonathan. It blessed all them other mighty men at Saul's, and it blessed the army, and it blessed Saul's household. Can you imagine Mrs. Saul? Mrs. Saul's wife? He's got an evil spirit. He's trying to smite Jonathan to the wall. How's that for home stuff? David comes in there and just refreshes him. Old Saul calms down. Gets to it. Now, I know how it all turns out. Say you got the fruit of an evil spirit, and you got the fruit of a refreshing spirit. And we want to be refreshing. Romans 15, I'm through. Romans 15, 15:30. Now, listen to these words, man. I stress this at our church. Slow down reading your Bible. Instead of trying to read 19 chapters that you don't remember nothing, read 9 verses and really read it slow. So, now, when you get to the names in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, I understand that. You don't have to, you know. My pastor, whom I love dearly, he's still living and he's in our church and a blessing. He'd take them names in 1 Chronicles and do things with them. I said, man, where do you get that? I mean, just the name means this. Preach a whole sermon on it. God, you heard that? That's good. That's amazing. But in just Bible reading, you know, you read through those names and you every word of God. God preserve that. I'm not saying don't read it. I'm just saying some of that stuff is set in time for then, so forth and so on. So anyway, we come down here. Slow down and read this. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. You do this for the Lord. And for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service for which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you and with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed, may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. See, what we're really looking for here in this meeting is a refreshing time. Sin-killing time, sinner getting saved time, but the saints of God, we want to be refreshed. So what we do is that sweet-smelling savor over in Song of Solomon, that odor, and I'm not talking about prayers, I'm talking about the way we deal with one another. Let's be refreshing. Let's be refreshed. Don't be a hypocrite. If it ain't right in your heart, well, I can't do that. Get on that altar. Tell God, I'm wicked, no good. I'm a sorry. I ain't a blessing to nobody. That's why I'm sitting off out here by myself all the time. Nobody's refreshed by me. We're supposed to refresh one another. I want to be refreshed. And folks, that's more than just in this church building. Man, look, God put stuff on my heart. Things appear out there. And I say, you know, I can refresh them with this. And you see, that's why I pray for, Lord, help us to be innovative. Not out of the bounds of the Scriptures, but like those men that let that guy down. The house was full. Let's go to the house. No. Top them on top. Let's tear it up and let them down right in the middle of Jesus. Innovative. Spirit-led. But you opportunities, we are filled with opportunities in church and in the world to be refreshing. And the Spirit of Christ is a refreshing spirit. It's not a cantankerous. It's not something you go, well, if I, man, lightning might strike you if you get around me. I just, man, I can't stand that stuff. I can't stand it. It's not of God. It's humanism. It's sensationalism. Amen. Praise God. Refreshing. I want to be refreshing.